Walk by faith. Sometimes that's hard to do. We like to control things that go on in our life. We like to, we want to be at the end of that outcome in what we do, but walking by faith is not for the faint in heart. It is not an easy life to walk by faith. Lord, I'm trusting you in this. There's things that we can trust God in certain situations. Then there's things that's just like, man, I don't know about this, Lord. I just really don't know. But we're called to live, to walk by faith, to speak by faith. That's a difficult thing to do at times. If your heart ain't centered on the word of God, to speak it out. Speak out what you're believing the Lord for by faith. And then to walk in that. Walk it out. Trust in God and everything he's given you. Trust in God that he's going to make a way. Trust in God that he's going to do what he said he's going to do. Trust in God that his word is going to come to pass in your life. We have to walk that out every day. Charlie, come. I'm just drawn. Can you come here? Can you come on up? That doesn't embarrass you. Zeke. Pastor Brandon. Mr. Tom. Hallelujah. She needs to turn, right? Yeah. Well, Zeke, put your hands on her. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you right now. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, that you have created this little girl in her tummy, Lord. We thank you for the life that's in her. We thank you for that baby turning right now. In the name of Jesus, we thank you that it will not be breached. We thank you for a normal, normal pregnancy. So, baby, you already name her yet?
Nope.
Little nunnery, you turn right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, and we thank you that we're going to walk that out regardless of the report. We thank you. There's their report, and then there's yours. And we live based off of yours, Lord. We thank you right now in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Love you. Yeah. We walk by faith. God has called you to walk by faith. He's called you to talk by faith. He's called you to live by faith. You are saved by grace through faith. Every day, God wants you walking by faith in him and in his word. Faith is made for the impossible. Your faith ain't made for the ordinary, for the things that just happen in natural and in everyday life. Your faith was created for the impossibilities that may come to you. So, you know, you might be thinking, well, there's no way that I can do this. By faith, you can. If God has called you to it, by faith, you can. You have overcoming faith. You can find stories throughout from cover to cover when people didn't think that they would be able to do it, and yet God made a way because all they had to do was just open up their mouth. All they had to do was be obedient to God, and he was going to make a way. All you had to do was walk around these walls 7 times and then give a shout. That doesn't make any sense, God. But they had to live their life by faith. If they did, we do too. And I always love to remind you all, we have it better. We have it better because Satan was the god of this world. And Jesus took back, he defeated him, and he took back those keys. And he took back that authority, that dominion, and he's given it to the body of Christ. We have it better. It required faith for you to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Faith to believe that his word still works in your everyday life because it stays being relevant. Faith to believe that even if you do not see what you prayed for, you know everything is going to be all right because you have fellowship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. People will spend their time believing God for certain things and then turn around and ask someone else to do it for them. Well, you didn't really trust God when you do that. When you ask, when you're in fellowship, rest in that. Rest. Sometimes it's a whole lot easier to believe somebody else's prayer than it is for you to believe your own and to stand in faith. Because, well, that person has a lot of faith. They have the same faith as you. God wants to hear your mouth open up. Because what happens when that person dies out? You're going to have to find someone else to try to speak for you. That's why it's a personal relationship. He wants to hear your voice. And he wants to bring the past, even though it's already brought to pass, but he wants it to be manifested in your life by you operating with what he's given you already. So, you know, shame can get us to the place to where we don't want to ask God. It'll get us to the place to where we don't even want to fellowship with him. But he do. His word says, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. If you've given your life to Jesus, God is not condemning you of it. He's not shaming you. And when things seem like it's a failure in your life, like, oh, man, Lord, I just failed. You didn't fail in that sense. If you got into the place to where you grew closer to God, keep your focus on that. If you got into the place to where you thought, you know, well, this didn't happen the way that I wanted to, but it did happen the way that he wanted it to. We need to get Pronnie back for people to start saying amen. Out of that situation, how did it turn out? Well, this went on. This person went that way. That person went this way. This person went that way. You got to hold on to the truth. Lord, I'm going to believe you. That person, that individual may have taken the biggest scenic route ever, but they're coming back because your word says so. And we know that all things work together for good. To those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. God's working it. You just have to walk it out. Ignore all the other stuff that comes against what you're believing the Lord for. And that's a fight. You're going to have to fight yourself. You're going to have to fight those thoughts. You're going to have to fight people that's closest to you. That's a fight. But I'm going to just stand, Lord. I'm just rooted in what I'm praying and what I'm believing you for. Nothing else. I recently had an individual come to me and we had a falling out. And I didn't really hate the guy. He was close. I didn't really hate him. But one of the things I said was, I was like, you know what? I can respect the fact that somebody, if they don't like me, they don't whatever, say it. Don't send somebody else to do it for you. That's a punk move. So I didn't hate him. He came to my house, all teary eyes, slobbering everywhere and stuff. But he asked for forgiveness. Because I've been saying some stuff. I said, hey, stop right there. I'm good. We're good. Well, I don't need an explanation. I don't care what you said. The forgiveness was already there. And the thing about it is my wife was like, you know, I started praying different. Because the Lord showed me it wasn't your heart, it was theirs. And I wanted to say, told you so. No, it's fine. But the forgiveness was already there. Sometimes you have to stand on what the Lord has shown you, what he's told you, what he's spoken to you, even if everyone else is saying something different. And it's not the popular move. Being obedient to God is not fun, but it is a blessing for you and for your family and for what God wants for you all. Walk by faith. Galatians 6, 7 through 10. It says this, don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. So understand, no one is exempt from this. And no, you can't pray for crop failure. I know sometimes we want to do that. We can't pray for crop failure because that would be the easy life. That would be hitting that reset button, that easy button that we want to hit. Lord, I want to go out and do as much dirt as I can to people, and then I don't want to reap what I sowed. So I'm going to pray for crop failure. I'm believing for crop failure. First part of that, it says, don't be misled. You're misled thinking that. So I don't want anyone to be deceived. Can you go back to that? Do you have the Passion Translation in that one that I give that to you? It says, God will never be mocked, for what you plant will always be the very thing you what? Harvest. So what are you planting? And what do you want to harvest? It's kind of simple, really. But if a person has to pray for crop failure, that means they sowed some evil seed that they don't want to harvest in their life. I don't know about you. I never prayed for crop failure in my life. Never had to. Why? Because I sow good seed. And if something comes in my head, that's just a life lesson. Okay, I'll remember. I don't want that anymore. But it doesn't mean that weeds won't come up into your life. And just like with grass and weeds come in, you do what? You spray it down. You dig it up. You kill it off. You throw it away. It wasn't planted by you. Sometimes that happens in this life. But you don't have to sit with the weeds there. It says, God will never be mocked. Can you go back to the New Living Translations, verse 8, please? He says, the next verse. He says, those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from what? The Spirit. We could stay there on verse 8. The sinful nature will bring destruction in our lives. You heard somebody say, I don't have to be there when a person plants it. I can just be there for the harvest. If you want good things in your life, sow good things to people. That's why Jesus called us to love one another, love our neighbors as ourselves. He calls us to do that. If you want evil things in your life, sow evil. Just don't complain. Don't play the victim when you sow evil into people's lives. I don't understand why this is going on. You sow some evil over here. If God can just put that on a highlight thing, it's just roll it back. Those who live only to satisfy their own sinful desires, sinful nature, will harvest decay. You don't have to settle for weeds in your life. Dig them up and get them out. Jesus says, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Are there weeds in heaven? So you don't have to put up with it. Is there sickness in heaven? No, there isn't. Sickness, no disease. No poverty. You got streets that are paved with transparent gold. If you get a gravel driveway, I said, you must have, you weren't a good servant. There's no sickness or disease in heaven. There's no unbeliever standing before God right now. Regardless of their faith, regardless of what we see, we still have work to do here on earth. Regardless. We have to let his will to be done here on earth as it is in heaven. There's no trouble in heaven. Even though Jesus says in this world, you will have tribulations in this world, you will have trouble, troubles here. This is where Jesus has us. We're not on the bottom anymore. We're on top. We're the top dog. Yeah, it doesn't mean that we look down upon people. But if you do look down or reach up to help them up. Paul tells us that we have two ways to live. We can either please the flesh or we can please God's spirit. One brings destruction and the other gives you eternal life. Paul is not teaching that we are saved by works right here. There's nothing wrong about being intentional in what you are sowing when you are sowing good seeds. But if there are bad seeds that we're intentional about it, what ends up happening is people begin to scapegoat you. Paul is showing you that the way we're supposed to be living is a transformative life by the Spirit of God. It's not about being saved and doing good works in order to be saved, but it's living that life of transformation in our everyday lives. Allow God's word to transform your life in whatever it is. Give yourself, examine your hearts, examine your motives, examine what you've been thinking, examine those things and get it and put it before God. Something practical. Every single day you can do that and say, Lord, what am I thinking on that is just not from you? And am I giving that much attention to it? Because if it is, why is it causing me to worry all the time? Why is it causing me to get in fear? He doesn't want you in fear. Satan doesn't want you in fear. Satan wants you in fear. God doesn't want you living in fear. He wants you living by faith. And verse 9 says, so let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. At just the right time, we will reap a blessing. See the reason why the enemy wants you doing evil? Because he don't want you reaping anything. Don't grow weary in doing good. It could be like every single time you try to do something and people are trying to do something out there for the kingdom of God, someone else is saying something different about you in spirit, what have you. Don't grow weary in that. You continue. God knows your heart. You know you help that person. You know you help that individual and you open up the door. Oh, well, they were just trying to show off. No. God knows your heart. Oh, you're just doing a Bible study just so that you can get attention. No. God knows your heart. That you're making disciples. He knows your heart. Some people just want to stir stuff up just for clout. I'm kind of leery of those who say sometimes they like to stir up trouble. If you're a troublemaker, I love you. Stir trouble up for the kingdom. So let us not grow weary in doing good. When you are doing good, that's just one way to please God's spirit. You know, one of the greatest accomplishments that you can get as a parent is when someone speaks well of your child. You know how that, that's good. Thank you. Because you know you were doing right. And someone speaks well of you. That pleases him. When you go out and you do those good works for the name of Jesus, that pleases him. When you're living your life by faith, that pleases God. You're trusting in him. Worry doesn't please God, but faith does. Those compliments reflect back on him. When you do good for others, it lets people know that you belong to God. Because the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, patience, patient endurance, kindness, goodness, faith and gentleness, and self-control. That's what's downloaded in us. That's what's in our spirit. Those things. So no need for you to get revenge on people who may have wronged you. They will reap what they what? So, don't spend any time, don't spend any energy, definitely don't spend any money trying to get revenge on people. It's not worth it. God is not behind that. You continue to do good. Because in due season, you will reap a harvest of what you sowed. And some of you are like, okay, when is that season coming? Because I'm at the very end. There's some that is getting ready to give up. And I don't want that to be you. Don't grow weary. Don't give up. It's coming. Your harvest is coming. Continue to sow life into people. And you'll see the life that you have coming right back to you. Continue to bless people. Continue to smile at people. Continue to pray for people. If you stick with Jesus and do his will, and his blessings will come and overtake you. You want to roll with people who are always plotting against others? It will be a harvest of destruction. You can't complain about it, but you can repent. Okay? So don't give up because things are tough. If you're here, you're here. God allowed you to see another day. You chose another day. Don't give up. It's hard for all of us. You know, there's one time where I just don't believe in like Christian therapy. And part of the reason why is that I've just been thinking on it a little more, praying on it. It's because that means the church has stopped being the church. If a person has to go outside to it, we stop being the church. This should be a place to where you come and get healing. A place where you come and get restoration, a place where you can come and share some things that's going on in your life. A place where people can pray for you. A place where people can get in agreement with you and help you on those things that you need. And as soon as we start going outside in that sense, it means the church has stopped being the church. I don't want us to stop being the church. You all have a lot of love to give, whether you know that or not. The first one on that list of the fruit of the Spirit is love. Love. In verse 10, it says, therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially those in the family of faith. We should do good to the only ones we like, or to everyone. 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 To everyone, especially those in the family of faith. You can't please everyone, and you shouldn't be looking to please other people. Because if you're trying to please people, you're not a very good servant of God. Please God by living your life by faith. But we're supposed to be doing good to everyone. To everyone. To everyone. Well, the Bible says, Jesus says to love your enemies. Right. Jesus never said make your enemies your best friend. But walk in love. Pray for them. If you got to love from a distance, do that. But pray for them. Keep them in your prayers. Say hi once in a while. No one ever saying you have to hold a long conversation with them. Be bold about it. You know, God gave you a vertebrae. He's given you some backbone. And it's not the coward back. Everyone has one. If you didn't, you'd be slumped over. Be bold about your faith. Don't be afraid to talk about it. Don't be afraid to share. Don't be afraid to, just talk about Jesus. When was the last time you talked about Jesus in a setting? Just out in public. Does it get you embarrassed a little bit? If it is, I said, if that makes you embarrassed to talk about Jesus, I said, you're going to have to check this then, this relationship. Because we should never feel ashamed talking about our Lord and Savior who saved you from the pit of hell, who saved you from the lake of fire. Your love matters to others. In Romans 12, it says, don't just pretend to love others. Keep it 100. Keep it real with them. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. People will misunderstand you when you hate what is wrong sometimes. They just sometimes won't get it. You can hate evil and love what is good. You cling to it. You can be passionate about things. There was an individual that I mean, every time he would talk, he'd be passionate and he'd just kind of get all puffed up and stuff like that. But I said, but when he talked, I was looking at his heart. I was like, I think he's misunderstood quite a bit because people would think he's angry and stuff. I said, I just think he's just a little passionate. And he used to go to church here. I just thought he was passionate. It says, love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Let your love be real. Let it be genuine. It's you and Jesus, not some mask that you're trying to hide behind. God can pull that mask off to reveal you to other people. You don't want to hide behind a mask. Because then you have to use another mask to cover up that mask, and you have to use another mask to cover up that mask. Just be real. People want to see Christ in you. They want to see the genuine you. We are called to live a holy life, but you're not called to live a perfect life. There's a difference. You're not perfect, but you serve a God who is. But just as he's holy, he calls us to be holy. So love each other. love people enough to invite them to where you're going. Hey, man, I'm just going to go get something to eat. You want to roll with me? They may be, they could have been to that place to where they're getting ready to give up. You invite them out to lunch. You speak life into them. Didn't even know it. So verse 11 says, never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Serving the Lord does not have to be this annoying chore you have to do week in and week out. Okay? The love that we have for God will show up in what we do for him more than what we say. It's easy to say, I love the Lord, but saying you love the Lord is actually showing and doing for him. Serving. There's a lot of people who serve every week, week in, week out for us. It's a servant. They're serving. They're doing it with a good heart. They're doing it with a great attitude. They love God, and this is one of the ways they display it, because they serve. Verse 12, it says, rejoice in our confident hope, be patient in trouble, and keep on praying. God's timing matters when we are facing troubles in our life. Don't go off doing your own thing. He doesn't back that up. Allow God to work in your life once you have given him permission to, and rest and stand firm. Walking by faith is not a trouble-free life, but it doesn't mean that trouble has to have you. Verse 13, it says, when God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. The church has to start being the church again. Not a church that's just wanting to entertain people or what have you. I said, there's people who are actually hurting. There's people who need help. There's people who need prayer. There's people who need deliverance. There's people who need healing. There's people who need Jesus. There's people who need who you know. So keep your works. Keep your works to be good so that you can help other people. Hebrews 11 says, and it is impossible to please God without faith. It is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. Faith life is what we walk every day. Every day. That's what it's about. Faith life. God, I don't see the end of it, but you do. You know it. Okay, I'm gonna roll with you. I'm gonna roll this way, but I'm gonna have to stand firm. I understand this person over here is coming at me. I understand this person over here is coming at me, but I'm gonna just stand firm. Sometimes you got to keep blinders on. I'm just looking straight, on air. That's where I'm looking. It's okay to tell people no. If they get all upset, that's on them. But it's okay to say yes to Jesus. Say no to them, yes to Jesus. No to their will, yes to his will. Walk it out. If you need genuine, there's some genuine gentlemen of faith here in this church. If you're needing help, man, if you're needing help, call one of them up. Call them up. Get a hold of them. Hey, you got time this week to meet? Call them up. That's what they're there for. but I don't want you giving up. Call them up. Don't call me up. You'll get a 5-minute conversation. No, I can do better than that. But if you need someone to get an agreement with, they're here. Because they love you. One will send 1,000 a flight, 2 will send 10,000. Why not get an agreement? Okay for man to be man again. To be the head of your house. Your woman starts trying to control you. I don't go off of that happy wife, happy life stuff. I really don't. I think that's a woman thing made up. What woman made that up? If Jesus can't make her happy, I can't. Her relationship with God is first and foremost. And if it's me, I'm going to tell her, hey, you need to go see your dad. You need to go see your Heavenly Father. I'm just icing on the cake. And it's vice versa. She don't make me happy. It's my relationship with my Heavenly Father. I don't put that on her. And I don't believe she puts that on me. Hallelujah. Is there anyone here who just feels like they're getting ready to give up? Like you see nothing operating in your life and you just need prayer. I want to pray with you. And it's nothing to be ashamed about because it's family. Do good unto others, especially for those who are in the household of faith. Father God, we thank you. We thank you that no one here, Lord, if there's someone online, don't grow weary. Your harvest season is coming. Don't grow weary. And don't you dare give up. If you need to call, call me up. We'll talk. We'll pray. We'll get an agreement. Lord, I thank you for the life that they have in you. Life, life, not death in you. Life that they have in you. You are the life-giving God. And I thank you for the impact that you have made in their lives. And I thank you that their prayers, when they open up their mouth and they give their hearts to you, Lord, that their prayers are being heard and they are being answered according to your will. We thank you that we get to live and walk by faith every single day because we want to live to please you. And we give you all the glory and all the honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. You all may stand. Well, back at it. You all have a good Thanksgiving. Amen. That's good. We got Christmas coming up. Wednesday night, 6:30. If you can get here, be here. Bring your kids. If your kids have friends, bring them here. Bring them. You come. Oh, Pastor, that's just a time for me to relax. But come relax in the spirit. I love you. Just want to bug you. I'm just kidding. I'll bug Kristen. Before you leave, give somebody a handshake, a firm handshake. If it's men, give them a side hug and bless them. All right. Amen. God bless you. We'll see you Wednesday night.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.